Reading of God's word is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Out of the passage we had earlier read, 2 Corinthians 12. And the message is the Christian's strength. And I propose that we focus our attention on two verses only. Verses 9 and 10. Please focus your attention on these two verses, out of which we pray. I pray that God's Spirit will speak to you and to me, that we may derive great spiritual blessing and benefit and strength for our Christian walk. Reading verse 9 and then 10. Please follow me. And he said to me, that is the Lord Jesus said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Now Paul says, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Amen. This is the theme for our consideration in the next half an hour or so, dearly beloved. As a Christian, I say, don't give up. We are all in a battle against the enemy of our souls, that unseen enemy, and yet very real and always out to cause us to stumble. And our theme for consideration today is the Christian strength. Are we up to these temptations and efforts of the evil one to cause us to stumble and to fall, and if possible to give up? Why be a Christian? Oh, my friends, there is enough in God's word and God's Spirit always waiting, available to help us to press on from strength to strength. Every Christian, old or young, recent or long time believer, please be assured the Lord is with us and His Spirit is ever waiting. Are you availing yourself of this wonderful strength of the Holy Spirit? So, with this background of verses 9 and 10, we ask ourselves, what caused the apostle to write these two verses? And to refresh our memories, the last 2 weeks we had considered that the apostle Paul was transported to heaven. I would say this was something never before, never afterwards. No man had ever been allowed to go to heaven and brought to heaven as the Apostle Paul. Apart from our Lord Jesus Christ who came from heaven, no one has any knowledge about what is happening in heaven. And so this man was taken to heaven. In his writing, he says it was 14 years before that. And during that time, he had kept this secret to himself. Now, God has given to him a thorn in the flesh. This is by the way of revision. What that thorn is, nobody knows. Nor should we be so curious that we must know. It doesn't help us. All we know is there is a thorn in the flesh of the Apostle Paul. Nobody likes to have a thorn anywhere in the body. You know, a thorn is sharp and is pricking and is painful, and oftentimes it creates problems for us. Now, in the case of Paul, he prayed 3 times, "Oh Lord, I don't like this thorn. Can you please take it away from me? Whatever it is." What did the Lord say? The answer is in verse 9. Please see. That is the answer. Many of us think that we pray and there are no answers. I say not always. Please don't think that way. Here is the answer. Paul asks, "Lord, take away the thorn." What did Jesus say? "No, Paul, this thorn has a purpose. But my grace," verse 9, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength in you is made perfect. When you wait on me, when you call to me, I'm always there to answer you and to help you. This is the promise." Dare we take this promise of God and rest in it? This is the strength we have. What strength? By ourselves, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We are so weak, oftentimes we just give up. But here the apostle receives the answer. Jesus Christ himself. How wonderful. Have you received such an answer that "my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, your infirmities. Every time you call to me." And this is a lesson for all of us. Who has no infirmities? Who amongst us can say, "I am self-sufficient, always on top of the world"? No, we are not. And the Lord says, "No, the thorn has a purpose." Paul understood and he learned a lesson. Yes, there is a purpose. Every time he was pricked, every time he was in distress and troubled, he called to the Lord, and every time the Lord answered him with sustaining power. So, verse 9, second part, may this be your experience. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, even in the pain and discomfort and the inconvenience that comes from a thorn in my flesh, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that it makes me more dependent, more closer to the Lord." Are you close to the Lord? This is a lesson we all have to learn. We say our prayers in the morning, don't we, all of us? Nighttime, mealtime, many are too frightened to pray in public, too ashamed. These are infirmities. I said, dear friends, do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Then in verse 10, read on, please follow. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, every kind of weakness, every kind of handicap is an infirmity." In the case of Paul, he was to do so many things, but every time there is this pain in the flesh, pricking him, this is an infirmity, dragging him down and slowing him. So he says, because each time I feel that need, I also receive blessing from the Lord. He's so close to me, ever so close. Is this your experience, dear friends? You know, sometimes it takes a sickness, even an incurable sickness, to cause a person to be bedridden. And that bed could even be the deathbed. I recall a certain lady. Those who attended MGS will know, but that's got to be 40 years ago. So I dare say none of you will know this lady. And she was stricken with cancer. And I brought a team of singers to sing a hymn to her. And you know what? She was so happy, dying from cancer of the liver, lying in a bed. What can she do? She could sing. She sang with us, with the little group that was singing to her. She sang. And she was so radiant. And we prayed together. My friends, it takes even that infirmity of a person who to be struck down with cancer. It need not be cancer, you know. There are many other things that can strike you down. You notice I today forgot one step in the Lord's Supper until my elder said, "Hey, you forgot." This could well be, I'm not saying it is, could well be the first trace of Alzheimer's disease. It happened to my brother in Life Church. And the elder had to stop him and say, "You've forgotten one step." Whatever it is, please understand the grace of God is always available, whether it is cancer, Alzheimer's, or stricken with some other disease. The Lord is our strength. My strength is in Him, not in me. No matter how strong I am, no matter how strong you are, your strength is limited. Please understand. Today you say, "I'm so strong." Wait a while. You will not be that strong. We all are strong until we are weak. You know that. And the weakness will come. It will come no matter what you do. There are people who keep feeding me with all kinds of herb and tonics and bird's nest and all kinds of ginsengs. Oh, they hope that I'll be everlasting, always strong and young. I say, how futile. I say the same to all of us. I'm not against ginseng, you know, or any of these things. They are good. They are all right. But I say, I don't take anything. They say, "How is it you're so strong?" I said, "The strength is from God and PUB pipe water." From the age of 13, a teacher says, "Boys, you have to be strong, be like me." Every morning I wake up, I take one glass of tap water from the tap. And I've done it ever since then. Every day, at least one cup, once or twice or three or four times. Pure tap water, new water, old water, doesn't matter. So I say our strength does not depend on the tonics you take. Our strength is from the Lord. This is the Christian strength, not by my own effort, not by my taking care, not by dieting. There are so many people who now go to the shops, "Oh, I must buy, I don't know, organic food." Not organic, I don't want. I want to live forever. How foolish. Pay more. Organic. I eat. I will live longer. Is that so? I say, there is a big question mark. So I say, this morning's topic has got many applications to every one of us. Learn that Jesus Christ is ever present. And the moment you cannot say anymore, cannot even breathe or move, and the last breath is coming, there is the Lord Jesus at death's door to welcome you. Do you have that confidence? Do you? That is the Christian strength. Not in the tonics you take, not in the great care you look after yourself. As all this up to a point, up to a point. Please don't spread the news that Dr. Toh doesn't like all these things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying your strength finally is the Lord Jesus. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. It reminds me my days on earth are limited. Sooner or later, old age and infirmity will catch up, no matter what you do. Years ago, I used to walk and jog. I love jogging. And I always thought to myself, hey, why is it those old people don't want to walk? Now I can understand, because I feel the slowing down. Yes, I only walk, but no jogging. They say, do you still sprint? I say, maybe 3 or 4 steps only. Just to get the feel of it. But the slowing down process will catch up, because all of us are sons and daughters of Adam. And we all grow old, no matter what you do. Verse 10, it's for comfort. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. And for some of us, for maybe all of us, we can say, I take pleasure even when I grow old. And I cannot do these things, because it reminds me I must depend more on my Lord Jesus. I will pray more fervently, more realistically, more honestly and more sincerely, asking the Lord to help me. Do you do that? Oh, this morning's message has got many good applications to everyone's life here. Reproaches, scoldings you get, maybe not none of your own fault, but they come your way, it doesn't matter. Necessities, needs. You never needed a wheelchair, now you need one. You never needed a tongkat or crutches, now you need one. When you need it, what do? First thing is, Lord, remind me. Keep reminding me, my life on earth is but limited. And I say, this message must get through to all of us, young men, boys, girls. Say, I have the whole future ahead of me. Yes, I agree. You young boys sitting there, maybe about 10. You still have 50, 60 years. Good years possible? Absolutely. 70 more years is still yours until you grow old like me. Then you do not have another 70 years to look forward to. You don't have. What do I look forward to? My friends, obviously, sooner or later the last day will come. And what do you look forward to? But the Lord Jesus. He is your strength. Now read on. In distresses for Christ's sake. What distress? Oh, dear friends, today your home is at peace, is one peace. Everybody is complete. Very soon you find your home is depleted, you know. These things will come. Sooner or later it will come. But one person never leaves you. Never, never says, I'm absent. Only the Lord Jesus, who paid the price for our redemption, who made it worthwhile for our living, worthwhile our witnessing, worthwhile our foregoing all the pleasures of the world, worthwhile our witnessing in our lives for him. Persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That strength does not come from tonics. That strength does not come from taking care of your life. That strength comes from the Lord. Do you have that strength? I say, dear friends, it is available for all of us, you and me, freely, at all times, in all places, whether you're traveling or at home, whether you're sick and dying, or hale and hearty and running all around. Anyone, every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, he is available. He is your strength. He is your guarantor of life everlasting. Always on hand to meet your every need. Now, I have some OHPs to reinforce what I've spoken. The Christian's strength. My dear friends, a lot of it depends on your values and your direction of life. If your values are material, social, and you must have those parties to attend and enjoy yourself, and attractions available in Singapore, plus, plus, plus nowadays. All these in life, I say, watch out. The Christian strength is not in these things. Here is a case in point I want to explain and remind you of the story of Abraham. When Abraham migrated to the land of Canaan, do you remember he took along his nephew called Lot? And then their workmen had a quarrel because they wanted the same piece of pasture land. It's not in great abundance, whatever. And then they had to divide up. Now here shows the generosity of Uncle Abraham. Abraham says, Lot, let's not quarrel. You take the pick. You go. If you want the east, I take west. You want to take west, I take east. So they separated. Lot went to the city of Sodom, and there he settled. Abraham remained in the highland of Canaan, and he saw the promises of God afar off. God showed to him not this land of Canaan, but a better land. This is where the strength of Abraham comes from. And I say to you and me, if your strength is in your better apartment, Singapore is now one of the richest countries in the world. Do you know that? And you say, I must be in Singapore. And here I have full security, better than anywhere else. I say, right? You're making the mistake wrong. Abraham saw God's promises. These are what gives us strength.
God's promises, you don't get the promise fulfilled today. You don't. Just as Abraham, how long did Abraham follow God until he died? How long? Do you know? How many years have you followed as long as Abraham? 100 years. 100. And he never faltered, never turned back. Because if he had considered the things he have lost in Ur of the Chaldees to come to barren Canaan, what a difference. If he had considered that one thing, he would have gone back. No, dear friends, our consideration is not worldly things, not material things, but God's promises far off. And he was persuaded, even though I don't get them now, God's promises was, Abraham, your home is up there. See, do you see? Abraham says, yes, Lord. By faith, I see. And you and I too, by faith we see. And so they confessed, oh, in this land of Canaan, we are but strangers and pilgrims. So are we. Singapore is so good. Now some of you who have come from overseas become PR, so happy, permanent resident. I said, how foolish. No one is permanent. No one is, including citizens. You're born here, you're permanent. Yes? Permanent until you finish. Pray for spiritual eyesight. To see not this Canaan on earth, but the Canaan above is the promise. Not Singapore here on earth, but a better city, a better place. Not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. When you place your hopes in the unseen promises of God, in the heavenly city, that is your strength. You can face any outcome, any problem on earth is not too great. I give you one example. The book called Second Dawn. Some of you have read the book Second Dawn from one of our members in the church in Melbourne. When I first saw them come to inquire, sitting as visitors, I noticed that man after some weeks. Because of the children's encouragement, the parents were greatly interested. We never heard this gospel in Singapore until we come to Melbourne. And the whole family, father, mother, daughter, and son, were saved. And they came asking for baptism. The years passed, I had forgotten all about them until 2006. I got a call and the message came. Our son is now stricken with cancer. Engaged to be married to a young lady. Suddenly found to have inoperable and incurable cancer. Now where is the future? That caused a turn in his life and a turn in the life of a young man called Damien Chung. Some of you know him, right? So from his hospital bed, here is his strength. He said, what strength? He's dying. Ah, dear friends, that is the strength. Because he's so near to God now, nearer to God. Never so near. What did he say? He wrote to the church, read it to the church members. Here is the real strength. Thank God for cancer. You say, he's mad. Oh yes, you think me mad? But in Christ, what does it matter? I say, I see heaven. You say, I don't see heaven. You must be mad. So he says, ever since I was diagnosed to have inoperable cancer, my strength has increased. God has brought me closer to Him. Now I know what heaven is all about, because I am about to go there. And he said in the letter to all his friends, all of you so close to me, when we were well, we used to go out together, enjoy together, drive fast cars, enjoy the life of Australia, so good. Ah, my friends, not Australia, not Singapore. My home is heaven, and I shall be in heaven soon. And I will look out for you. Make sure all of you come here. That is strength. That is strength. And the day after the funeral, I got a telephone call. Who was on the line? Some of you know him, your friend, called Damien. Damien Chung said to me, Dr. To, he had been a delinquent. You know what is delinquent? Not doing well in school at all. In fact, he did nothing good. And he says, I am turned back to God. I want to go to FEBC to study for the gospel and to be a servant of God. He came. I had him home for dinner. I say, good for you, Damien. How long are you going to study here? One term. One term is 3 months. I say, Damien, after one term, he is good enough to be my tambi. All you can do is run around in the office, do odd jobs. I say, you want to serve the Lord? Not one time. You get a degree and finish the course of training. He did 4 years. One term is 3 months, but he did 4 years. He never forgot the words of Kevin in hospital. They were closest of friends, and Kevin says, look, I'm going there, you better come. I will look out for you. This is strength, not in fast cars and in all kinds of other entertainments. So this is our conclusion. I take pleasure in infirmities. One of our members here, or two of our members, or maybe more, I don't know, suffering from cancer. And outlook is not good. But what does it matter whether you go by cancer or by Alzheimer's or something else? Or by stroke? I say, the words of Paul the Apostle says, I take pleasure because I suffer from infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, because I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. What does it matter? It only reminds me and brings me closer to God. For Christ's sake, I therefore take pleasure. When these things happen to me, I say, thank God, I have the best awaiting for me. This life is so temporary, so plagued with cancer, all kinds of sickness. So Paul says, when I am weak, whatever he's suffering from, the thorn in the side, the thorn in the flesh, because he runs to Jesus Christ. And I say, if you remember nothing else but the one thing, run to the Lord Jesus Christ every day, every moment of every day. This is a paradox. How is it I am weak, then I become strong? He said, you're talking nonsense. I said, no, 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 dear friends. You may call it spiritual nonsense. It's not. It's spiritual truth. This is a paradox. What is a paradox? Seems contradictory. You say you're weak, you're strong. I cannot understand you. Conclusion. Can we all conclude with this before we go home? I take pleasure in infirmities, in the reproaches, necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Don't forget the most important phrases. For Christ's sake. Not for anybody else's sake. But if I get these persecutions, infirmities, necessities, distresses, because I'm a Christian servant, because I'm a servant of God, because I follow Him, because I'm just an ordinary, normal Christian, and people make fun of me, what does it matter? In conclusion, it says, well, when I'm made fun of, then am I strong. We have a closing hymn, which is a wonderful closing hymn. This hymn is so good, so comforting, so assuring. I first got to know this hymn in 1946. 1946 is a long ways away, many, many years ago. And I was so heartbroken because my mother died. Until a friend brought this hymn to me. He says, look, you stop being sad. You have the best friend, better than your mother. Jesus is all the world to me, number 109. And this hymn will become very precious to someone here, to some of you, when you are in that moment of distress. Then you will find Jesus is your life, your joy, your all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him, I would fall. Him is 109. Let's arise to sing it. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He is my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials so. I go to Him for blessings, and He gives them all and all. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He is my friend. Stanza 4. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend.
him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. He will die without a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy is my friend.
Now may grace, mercy and peace, eternal life and eternal joy be with all of God's people, now and forevermore. Amen.